Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another thought-provoking show for you this morning. It's actually part two. Henry Hollingshead is back in the studio with me this morning, and we're going to continue our debate because he left out here last week with his chest pumped out. And I think revenge is in order.
Good luck, Ron. Glad to be back.
Yes, indeed. How's everything, Henry?
Good. Excellent. I have watched the news, and I think I am prepared for you today.
Bit of some great news. My son graduated Central Piedmont Community College last week.
Terrific. I'm really happy for him.
Yes, he got his associate's degree, and he has gotten his acceptance letter to UNC, so we are very, very excited.
What's his major?
Criminal justice. Don't know why the guy wants to be a cop, but he does.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
We need some policeman somewhere, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, Henry, I do not understand what is going on with the Republicans. It is absolutely amazing that they have concentrated so much on so many different things. They can't hone in on one issue. What is wrong with you folks?
Well, the one issue that everyone is honing in on at the moment is the problem at the Veterans Administration.
It is amazing.
That is just wrong.
Yeah. The Veterans Administration oversees 1,700 hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, and a bevy of clinics all across the country, serving 8.3 million veterans. And this is amazing that they are our veterans, the guys, the women that put their lives on the line. They have to deal with malfeasance.
Yeah. It really is. And I mean, there you have government health care in action. It's as simple as that. It's set up by the government, totally run by the government, paid for by the government, completely handled by the government. And this is health care. And this is exactly what we're all looking at.
53,000 independent health practitioners all across the country,
yeah,
making up this huge behemoth.
Absolutely. It is a debacle. I mean, it's a mess. And this is a perfect example of what will happen when you turn all of health care over to a single payer.
You know, the problem with that analysis is that not only is government beleaguered with malfeasance, but this also happens in private industry.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, just to single out the government, in this instance, obviously, they deserve, our government, particularly the VA, deserves criticism, without question.
Well, I think what's going to happen on this one particularly, I honestly believe that this is going to be the worst mess that the administration has faced. Mm-hmm. I really do. And the reason I say that is the way that the whole thing came about. It really started with whistleblowers. I mean, they had reports of this in the past, and they've always been covered up, and this has been going on for years, and everything has been pushed off to the side. Now, when the whistleblowers were picked on, I mean, they were moved from their positions, they were gotten rid of, and this is what has now turned the press loose, mm-hmm, because the press is having a field day. And one thing I gotta say that the Republicans are doing, they're doing it smart. They're staying out of the way. They literally, McConnell got up and he said, "Hey, it's not us."
How do you suppose they are staying out of the way when 41 Republican senators blocked a bill that would provide more benefits to the men and women that donned our uniform, that risked life and limb to serve and protect our country, and yet they would propose to give more tax breaks to the wealthiest in our society and ignore the veterans that put their lives on the line? So they are not exemplifying a bold position in this issue, you know. I mean, they can stand by and watch it unfold. But in terms of leadership, they haven't taken leadership. And that is on both sides, Republican and Democrat.
Well, one of the reasons they didn't give them the money, Ron, is that they have found out that all the money they have been giving the VA has been going to bonuses for people working for the VA, and none of it has been gotten to the people. There's also been $36.4 million since 2001 paid out in settlements. Now, I don't know how much of that money was done under the Republican administration, how much of it's done now. Well, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that they're burying all this stuff. They're asking for money, and all they're doing is stealing the money. Well, Let's not throw more money at it. Well, let's find out where the money's been stolen and go get it.
Well, as you've indicated, since 2001, which means this is prior to this administration, and as we understand, as we know, our veterans have been shortchanged for many, many years. We've allowed thousands of our veterans prior to this administration to exist without existing.
Absolutely.
In other words, these folks have been sleeping out on the street. Don't suggest to me that this is exclusive to the Obama administration. We have been dealing with this issue going back generations now.
Well, I have one question to ask you, Ron. How long is it going to be?
I don't want questions. No, okay, what I want is your perspective.
Okay. Well, my question is going to be, though, how long is it going to be before we get some wild-eyed tea leaf start screaming, "See that we found the death panels"?
All you have to do is dial up Michelle Bachmann. I'm pretty sure she is anxious to get on the front lines of that one.
Somebody's going to be up there. See, we've got the death lists, and we can't prove it.
Well, it's interesting. Again, and I understand the issues about money and economy and all those kind of things, and we should know where money has been wasted, who has gotten what, who's received what.
Oh, yeah.
When we're dealing with a huge behemoth and a bureaucracy such as the VA, we need to understand that bureaucracy, and I embrace some of what the Republicans say. Sometimes you got to really break down a bureaucracy in order to get care to these individuals. But at the same time, we have to exercise some concern and care for those who are serving in our country, because the bottom line is this: while we're arguing over money, more veterans are sleeping out on the street.
Yes.
While we're arguing over money, more veterans are not getting care. What I am talking about is a system-wide thing that has to be taken care of.
Well, now, I agree with you 100%. The thing is this, is that the White House is being called to act, and they are acting like a deer caught in the headlights.
Wait a second.
Friday, the White House announced that Dr. Robert Pretzel is going to be leaving.
Yes, he's resigning. He resigned on Friday.
Right, he resigned, and that's the guy that we got to get rid of right now, and that's probably where we were about to stop. The only problem is he was supposed to leave in 4 months. Okay? This is a token thing. We have lists. We know for a fact that when the Obama transition team came in, problems were brought to them, and nothing has happened since. This is the thing that the Republicans are going to lean on, is they're going to say, look, we didn't put this guy in charge. We didn't spend all this extra money. We didn't lose all this money. We didn't scream for money and then have it wasted, and we're going to put a stop to this thing. This is the press, and this is the Democrats, and this is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of what is happening in this country.
Well, I understand your point. The problem is when you have a Senate led by McDonnell and others who want to see this president fail. I mean, let's think about when President Obama first came into office and how he had to jump through hoops just to get confirmations going. I mean, you have that kind of stalemate happening in Washington, D.C., and it's no wonder why there's such bureaucracy in our government. Now, I understand that Eric Shinseki is staying, and
yes,
I think that ultimately he should stay, and ultimately he needs to clean up this mess. But at the end of the day, he needs to take a Sebelius exit. Once all of this stuff is cleaned up, he's got to go.
He's going to have to go.
No question.
And he's
going
to have to go too soon. Just one thing here. We've got the EPA, the NSA, the Justice State, IRS, FBI, Energy, Health, and HU, and HUD, all under federal subpoenas for gross incompetence or criminal behavior. Why would the vet be any different?
I don't know why the vet would be any different, other than to suggest to you that when we see Republican witch hunts and when we see scurrilous attacks
this
by the Republicans...
This is not a Republican witch hunt, Ron.
I'm not suggesting that this particular case is a Republican witch hunt. What I am saying is, when you lump all of those things together, and we see just from Daryl Issa's investigations of Fast and Furious, for instance, Benghazi, all of these scurrilous attempts to derail the president's agenda, I think when you take that into context with malfeasance on the part of the VA, I think it's inappropriate
in
this case. Well,
the president's agenda, if he was trying to help the Veterans Administration, was woefully short.
Are you suggesting that he's not? Are you suggesting that he does not care about our vets?
I am suggesting that it is so incompetent that what he is doing is totally wrong, and that he's going to get caught on this thing, and this one's going to blow up on him.
Well,
this McDonough, this guy that they sent out Sunday to the talking heads, the White House chief of staff, did you see this guy?
No, I didn't see him.
Oh, you want to talk about the political hack of the month?
Well, see,
oh,
Henry,
but
again, I want to hone in on context. Okay, I am not excusing the Obama administration. I'm not excusing anyone. What I am suggesting that this has been a long-standing problem for decades, and that again, when you have a bureaucracy that literally is serving 8.3 million people, veterans in our country, with 53,000 independent contractors or independent employees. Employees dealing with this, you're going to have major problems here.
Okay, so you will agree that in the system of government-run medication, there are a ton of problems, and there is incompetency.
I will agree that on both the government side and private sector side,
okay,
there are always and will continue to be problems, and that we have to ferret out the problems and fix those issues so that people who need care can get care. Don't come in here suggesting to me that this is simply a monopoly by government. Private sector have major issues as well. Don't extol the virtues of private sector when we know that on both sides of this aisle, there are problems.
Ron, the Veterans Administration is a government
agency. I understand
agency.
That. I understand
it's
that.
Not business.
What I'm saying,
we're looking directly at the Veterans Administration.
I understand that.
That has people have passed away. They have lied. They have cheated. We have death panels. It's a mess.
But I'm not discounting that there isn't a mess. What I am suggesting to you is, don't make it seem as if government is the only problem. We have problems in the private sector as well. And if you discount that, that is being hypocritical. What I am suggesting, yes, we need to criticize the VA. Yes, we need to hold them account, hold their feet to the fire. But at the same time, I want balance. When we are talking about issues regarding private sector and the government, there needs to be parity and balance in terms of our criticism. And for so long, we have not seen that from the Republican Party.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think they should do? Now, you have this mess now.
Well, right now.
Right now, what do you think they should do?
I think Shinseki should be tasked with the responsibility of cleaning up this mess, and I think he should hand in his resignation and take the Sebelius exit and leave government. That's my personal perspective.
Okay.
It needs to be cleaned up. However it happens, it needs to happen. No question about it.
Well, I think the first thing that they should do is impanel a temporary watchdog group at each hospital.
Whatever needs to happen to clean this mess up, it needs to happen.
Now, let me ask you this. What would you think of this idea? Taking these hospitals, which are all government hospitals, all right, and have government-run hospitals, open them up to Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, everything. Have government-run hospitals, which we do right now, just take care of government situations, such as Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid. There's your system.
Well, I have to mull over that. Many of us in the progressive movement suggested a long time ago that in terms of the Affordable Care Act, that it should go further. There should be a single-payer system, absent the malfeasance that we're seeing from the VA. No question
now,
about it.
I heard one thing that was quite interesting about a single-payer system. and how it can really back up on someone. There have been whistleblowers that have come out on the VA thing, and they were told when they left, straight out, you will never work for the VA again. Now, if you had a single-payer system, they're out of a career.
We should be hailing our whistleblowers for making sure that systems are running properly. We should not castigate them. We should not vilify them. They should be hailed as heroes. So there you and I agree. Let's move on to your favorite subject.
All right.
The IRS.
Oh. All righty then.
Now, let's agree from the outset that any organization seeking tax-exempt status should be investigated to determine if they're operating outside the parameters of being granted that particular tax-exempt status.
The investigation should be the same for either side.
Absolutely, I agree.
It should be a balanced, clean field. It should not be that you get put into one area because of something in your name. It doesn't say Progressive goes this way, it's okay. And the other way, if it says something like Conservative or Freedom Foundation or something like that, it goes the other way and it isn't passed. That is not fair. It's not right.
But
it's cheating.
Okay, but we will agree that the organizations that are knowingly using their tax-exempt status for political purposes, which they had their own designation to do so, they deserve scrutiny. We can agree on that.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just allow willy-nilly, but what I am saying is that it has to be a balance, Ron. If you're going to check these things, we have to set up a set of balances, and you cannot allow a system.
Oh, sure. All right, now,
here's one thing that really gets me, okay? When these people all sent in their 501Cs, whatever, when they all got sent in and everything was done, now we are years later, and we look back, and we see that over 25% of the people that send in for a 501C, 25% got audited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, Ron, is not right. When less than one half of 1% of this country gets audited, no, that's right. No. There's no here's something, Ron.
No.
This one is wrong.
I understand your point. Here's something from PolitiFact. Elizabeth Kingsley, a Washington attorney who specializes in the tax treatment of exempt organizations, said it's a, quote, reach to even come up with a statute that applies, much less to find clear criminal culpability. And, of course, we're talking about Lois Lerner, at this point, who did refuse to testify. I always find it interesting when folks take the fifth. I just think it's, for me, it's a cop-out, but obviously there's an issue here with regard to our constitutional rights.
Yes, but where they made their mistake was she got up and said she was innocent, and then she took the fifth. You can't do that. That's what we call a no-no.
Yeah. Now, it goes on. The article goes on to say, I suppose if the facts eventually came out to show that the special scrutiny of those groups was based on an intentional decision to subject certain applicants to harsher scrutiny because of an animus against their racial or religious identity, there might be a case to be made, but it would require evidence to demonstrate such an intent, and we have nothing like that so far. And it goes on to say, I'd be shocked if anything was done criminal, because there is no explicit statute on point, and because it appears that the IRS staff actually had quite good reasons for selecting the applications as they did, examining the potential activity of these groups was their job.
Now, who gave this?
This is from PolitiFact.
Okay. Question for you. Was that written before or after the Carl Levin incident?
This was before.
Okay.
Because
the Carl Levin incident ties the two of them together.
Yeah, but
because that man sent out things on specific organizations to target.
No, but even beyond that, the context here for me, which is important, is the fact that they have no criminal, even after Levin, there is nothing to suggest that there was criminal intent. And as the article points out here, these groups ought to be investigated. And we know, as it has been revealed, that progressive and liberal groups were under the same scrutiny as well.
Criminal intent is yes, you're right. Under the strict criminal intent of the law, could Lois Lerner go to jail?
No, I doubt.
It would be a real stretch.
Right, because you would have to get into her head.
But if the next one or two steps up from Lois Lerner, from where we have someone that has sent direct knowledge of groups to be looked at, from Carl Levin, he sent these to people, and they sent the information down to Lois Lerner. Those people can be held literally for fraud,
but
because they're taking they are looking into groups for a political witch hunt.
Right. Well, there's no clear criminal intent has been established according to this article and according to some other pieces that I've read. The FBI or Justice Department, and I know you have something against them.
Oh, the Justice Department. Oh,
but there's a group run by
geniuses for the execution by idiots.
They haven't found any criminal intent. The Inspector General's
report, looking for their shoes.
The Inspector General's report indicated that there was no criminal activity, and of course we learned that liberal groups were also targeted.
Five? Come on! Give the numbers, Ron! Give the numbers! Now, come on! Yes, liberal groups were targeting. How many? Four?
But four? But what is amazing
to
me?
How many conservative groups? 300 and something?
Well,
four? And you're gonna say, hey, there were four?
Listen, they spent millions of dollars on this scandal. Millions of dollars on Fast and Furious. Millions on Benghazi.
How much do you think they got in bonuses on this deal? Serious.
They have thrown spaghetti against the wall and nothing is sticking. They've dropped the kitchen sink. Nothing is sticking. They skin cats. Nothing is sticking. Nothing. Come on. Daryl Issa is wasting everybody's time here.
I don't think it's unfortunate.
So. We got the economy. What is going on?
The economy. I'll tell you what.
Well, listen. I am telling you right now, when President Obama first took office, and we've argued this point not
only
here at this station, but at our old radio station, we've argued this incessantly. The point is, President Obama came into office, we were losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months. And then suddenly, there was a turnaround.
Okay.
Albeit a slow, you've been on a cruise before, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know how difficult it is for a ship to take a sharp turnaround. This is a slow process.
Absolutely.
And we have seen the changes occur.
Now, can I?
Yeah, 200.
Median income since President Obama has come in has dropped $4,000. You've destroyed the bond market with your 0.0%
as the stock market
does not come back, you're going to have stagnant growth. The stock market raise is a precursor to hyperinflation.
Yeah, but
the housing market is in the tank, and with unemployment and underemployment with people at about 12.6%, don't you think we ought to change management here?
Total non-farm payroll enrollment rose up to 280,000, and unemployment rate fell by 0.4% to 6.3%. Now, reminding you now, when President Obama took office, we were hovering above 9%. We're now down by 6.3%. We're now down to 6.3%
in terms of unemployment. Everybody.
Well, we're counting. I'm just looking at the House survey data here.
Right.
In April, the unemployment rate fell from 6.7% to 6.3%, and the number of unemployed persons at 9.8 million decreased by 733,000. Both measures had shown little movement over the prior 4 months. Over the year, the unemployment rate and the number of unemployed persons declined by 1.2% and 1.9% respectively.
The bottom line, Henry, is
if you're looking at the numbers, there has been significant improvement in our economy.
And how many people have dropped out of the workforce?
Well,
how can you explain a median income dropping $4,000?
Among the major worker groups, unemployment rates declined in April for adults, men 5.9%, adult 5.7%, teenagers 19.1%, whites 5.3%, blacks 11.6%. So the point here, Henry, I mean, we can continue throwing out numbers.
Sure.
The point here is that there has been improvement. And if you, I mean, the stock market is at what, I think 16,000? 16,000.
Okay.
So, but you juxtapose the figures now to when President Obama took office, and there has been improvement.
Okay.
There's no question about it.
The stock market has improved. Okay. Understand a couple things about the stock market. When it moved from 1,000 to 2,000, it had to double its size. All right. When it moves from 1,500 to 1,600, it only has to go up 1/15th of its size or 1/16th of its size. So you're going to get, the stock market's going to go up higher and higher with actual littler movement in the market.
Well, but the,
but
point,
the market is this. The market is a precursor to inflation. If you go back through our history, the only place to put money right now is the market. You've killed bonds, which is horrible. You've killed the bond market. And so the you can't put money in the bank. And so the only thing left is the stock market.
Well, what do you mean you can't put the money in the bank?
What are you getting interest?
You gave me $200 last week. I put it in the bank.
But
I'm being facetious.
but what I'm saying is you can't get any interest on your money.
I know exactly what you're saying. But I think it's important to remember again, and I'm being redundant here. 5 years after President Obama took office, the unemployment rate dropped from 9% to 6.3%, losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months, and now we've regained 8 million private sector jobs that were lost under Bush. There has been improvement in our economy, and what galls me, what stirs my ire, is that the Republicans have blocked every jobs bill, every effort by the Obama administration, whether we agree with the numbers or not. When you block an effort to do something, that is a major issue here. And for me, and we're talking about literally our infrastructure. We're talking about our roads and bridges and highways, all of those things that are important to our economy. Every effort was stymied by the Republican Party, and that's a problem. And listen,
can you,
we only got 30
Keystone?
Seconds. What do you mean, explain Keystone?
Look at everything you said that would help would be in Keystone,
because
and the only person holding it up is President Obama.
There are requirements that appropriate studies are taken.
They haven't all been done.
And in fact, Canada, at this point, there is some rift at this point between, you know, whether or not we can do this and whether or not it is
justifiable.
Because
you're dragging your feet.
We're not dragging our feet. We're trying to wean ourselves off of this stuff. At some point in the future, green energy, solar panels, all of those things that are in our future, we have to give stronger consideration to and make stronger investments in. I don't want to be mired down in oil, whether it's from overseas or here in this country. That's the bottom line. The American people want innovation. And innovation is not going back to what we did 100 years ago, digging in the ground. Innovation is taking that power that we get naturally from the sun. All of the things that green energy provides us for the future, that's where our investments must be. And we have to close out.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry,
all
Henry.
Right, Ryan, you got this one. It's your show. All right.
Absolutely. We're going to take Henry. Thank you so much for coming in. Unfortunately, our time has exhausted and we have to go. I look forward to having another debate with you. Of course, I won this round as always. We're going to take a quick break. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You wanted to say one other thing before.
Well, I just wanted to remind you, Ron, that Keystone is a lot different than what you just said. And in the marketplace, clean energy is not going to work until it becomes profitable.
Oh, well, we'll see. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to thank my conservative friend Henry Hollinshead for coming in and talking about the very important issues that are impacting our nation. Certainly, we want to encourage our elected officials to ensure that the VA hospital, the VA system, is operating efficiently and that our veterans are taken care of with the highest standards that we can offer. I want to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day weekend, and of course, as we're celebrating, want to make sure that we keep in mind that there are people who have sacrificed their lives for the benefit of this country. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We will talk with you next week.